Time for our regular Monday morning house call with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Most. It's quite a day. It's been quite a weekend, hasn't it?
It sure has, Bob. Unfortunate what you're seeing right now in the news, but we'll get through it.
I've heard more than one person saying that anybody in a protest, anybody in a large crowd like that should go get a COVID test as soon as possible. Do you agree with that?
Well, certainly within the next few days, not necessarily right away. That's obviously the concern that healthcare providers had. Not only did we have to put our emergency rooms all on special alert again, which is unfortunate, but we also then now look at what might happen a couple weeks from now. A lot of individuals in the peaceful protests were wearing masks. A lot of individuals weren't. A lot of individuals chanting, yelling, again, which is going to propel that virus, the droplets, even further. I would say that be cautious and start to look for symptoms if you were in any of those, just because these were very large gatherings.
Is the reason health professionals like yourself are so nervous about this is because you have cases where protesters in some cities are traveling from elsewhere in the country? They go back and they could spread the virus, couldn't they?
They sure could. You know, not only can they spread it in the community, you know, and we're talking about a virus that is fairly contagious. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to get this. So, you know, individuals that were in these large groups, whether that was their direct community wherever they were, or if they went back to another community. And the unfortunate thing is we're really starting to see this turn down and, you know, kind of giving the healthcare providers a chance to get a breath of air. And now our anxiety levels are back up as to what's going to happen here over the next couple weeks.
As you communicate with your colleagues in our area, what is the situation in our hospitals? Is it improving?
Absolutely. Yes, we're definitely improving. We're starting to see the number of hospital beds that are available up, meaning we have more hospital beds. We are seeing more intensive care beds up, and we're seeing less ventilator use. So we certainly were on the downward trend. Last time we talked, we were still peaking, but then we had that week of Memorial Day, so we haven't spoken for 2 weeks. But we are definitely seeing a decrease now, and again, now we're just keeping our fingers crossed.
Talk about another problem we're facing. Folks are putting off doctor's appointments and in some cases not getting the critical care they need because they're fearful of the virus. Speak to that.
Yeah, that is it's something that we noted probably maybe about 6 weeks ago, and it's really just continued. Unfortunately, what we've seen is we've seen more patients die from heart attacks at home. We've seen individuals come in with full-blown strokes that had occurred a day or two prior. People are concerned about coming to the hospital because of the chance of COVID, and yet they're looking at underlying illnesses that, if we treated soon enough, would be much better. Take the simple person who's having heart pain or chest pain. If they come to the hospital during the time of chest pain and there's blockage that's causing that, we can open that artery up with a stent and angioplasty. We can also, if needed, do heart surgery. If the individual stays at home and kind of fights his way through this, they're killing the heart tissue that now we have to look at this individual looking at heart failure. Same with patients having symptoms of stroke. If we can take care of that individual within the first 4, 6, 8, even 12 hours, we're starting to see, we'll see great response if we can remove that clot from the brain, restore the blood flow. The individual who comes in 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, a month later, those are the ones that you're going to see some devastating illnesses that did not have to occur.
We probably also should urge folks, if they are putting off a regular physical or what might be a more routine visit to the doctor, you should just call and ask what the situation is before automatically assuming you're going to cancel the appointment, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, all the offices have had plenty of time to figure out what their new norm is going to be. And I'll tell you, you know, a lot of the Northwestern offices, the patient will wait in their car and won't come into the waiting room. They'll come straight from the car into an exam room. The staff will have masks on. The offices have been cleaned appropriately. So we're very, very cautious because we're sometimes bringing vulnerable populations into the office. But the other thing you touched on, something people really need to understand, is some of those routine screening things that have been postponed. The individual who's due for their colonoscopy, the woman who's due for their mammogram, those are the ones, those are the illnesses that if we catch those diseases early, we can easily and simply treat them. If we don't and we postpone them, you know, you're talking about now major surgery, chemotherapy, a chance of loss of life versus a simple colonoscopy where we remove the tumor, you know, during the colonoscopy or in the mammogram, we do a simple lumpectomy. And I shouldn't say simple, but a lumpectomy and, you know, just very minimal invasive surgery that we don't need to then go on and do chemo and radiation and all the other things that go with advanced cancers.
Good advice, as always, from Dr. Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Doc, I've been reading a lot about gloves, and a lot of medical experts say the gloves may be protecting you, but also transmitting the virus. I think the CDC recently issued a statement, and it kind of sounded like maybe the gloves, wearing gloves, is something that's more problematic than helpful. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, the CDC has been under a lot of heat, obviously, for the past couple of weeks here, but they do have very good information if you really take your time to read and understand it. The issue that they discussed was the most predominant way to get this virus is from person to person, from a droplet to another, you know, an airborne droplet to another individual. They then said, hey, you know, they didn't say don't worry, but they said the chance of transmission from surfaces is extremely low, which we have been saying for a long time. So as long as everybody understands that the chance of that is low, then you can start to say the most important things we do are actually wash our hands. So if we touch something, we wash our hands. People get this false sense of security sometimes that they have a glove on, that they're okay. They have that glove on and they touch their face. It's the same as if they were to have, you know, their skin touch their face, because we know that it can live on plastic for, you know, and rubber for 2 days. So people that are reusing the gloves, people that are using gloves is a thing, as a source of saying, I am now protected. That is not true. This is not a virus that gets onto our skin and is absorbed. This virus gets into our body by us touching our nose and our mouth.
So the problem with wearing gloves, I guess, for the most part, would be people not disposing of them properly,
yep.
Right?
Correct. Correct. Two things happen there. One, a lot of people don't take them off the right way. And then two, once they take them off, and you've seen it all around, they just sometimes just drop them, which someone has to go and pick those up and clean those up. So, you know, one, if you're going to wear them, please dispose of them properly. And actually, if you are going to wear them, as soon as you take them off, wash your hands. Mm-hmm. The gloves are not going to be the do-all to correct everything and to protect us. So use common sense. And as far as your environment, you know, clean your environment. You walked in this morning. I'm sure you cleaned off the area there. Well, whatever you can touch as far as the control panel there, and clean it as well as you can. I am sure Mr. Ennis has a spotless area in front of his computer, as does Mary Vandeville.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're talking about people that set great examples there, Doc. There's no question about it. But, you know, that's part of the problem when you're out and about, and more people are now. You can't count on everybody being that good, so you're back to the old soap and water routine. That's the best, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, soap, water, and if you're out and around, a small bottle of the hand sanitizer is still one of the best things. Soap and water, we're a country of rinsing our hands, not washing our hands. You know, if you really want to do it right, 30 seconds of soap and water. You know, if everybody did that properly, that would be great, but no one does. Most people will rinse their hands or wash them very quickly. 10, 15 seconds is a long time. Where at least with the gel hand sanitizers, we know that any of them that have over 80% alcohol will kill the virus on contact versus the soap and water, which is where we're getting it off of the oil of our skin and rinsing it away, the alcohol will actually denature and kill the virus.
And so just so we understand this, all of the recent research is just indicating that perhaps it is not as easy to get the virus from a surface as we once thought. Is that it?
Correct. So if you think about, there's, you know, two things that cause, well, more than two, but two major things that cause infections, right? Bacteria and viruses. We know bacteria can replicate and can really just continue to grow. Let's say that potato salad that's left out in the sun. We know that the bacteria is growing in there and causing toxins, and that's how we get food poisoning. With the virus, it's totally different. The virus is not, if I were to touch a piece of paper and I had it, the virus is not replicating there. It's just alive there. It doesn't replicate until it gets into our body because it needs our cells. It needs our compounds to replicate. So it uses us. It acts more like a parasite. So the virus that's sitting on top of a surface is not replicating and getting worse. Like I touch there and there's 10 viruses and 10 virus particles, and 15 minutes later, there's going to be 100. No, there's going to be less than 10 because they'll die off. They need us in order to replicate, different from bacteria, which can replicate when they're given, you know, warm, moist areas.
Got it. What do you say to people now who are wearing all kinds of masks, cloth masks, bandanas? What do we need to know about masks?
Yeah, you know, continue to wear a mask. You know, mask is, again, protecting others from you. So when you're talking, you know, that your droplets are not going any further than that mask. They're not protecting you from getting the virus. So people should still wear masks. If you're out and you're walking around and you're going to be not around anybody, go ahead and take that mask off. It's still nice to kind of get some fresh air and move around a little bit. But as you come up to a group or as you come into a larger group, try to physically distance still, 6 to 8 feet, but wear that mask for two reasons. One, it's going to protect the others around you, common courtesy, and it also lowers the anxiety of everybody. And there's enough anxiousness going on right now that anything we can do to decrease anxiety in this community is important.
Talking about getting out and getting fresh air, and we've got warm weather forecast for Chicago this week. Is it still pretty much agreed that sunshine is, if not a total disinfectant, something that can help our health?
Sure. Absolutely. You know, the vitamin D that we're going to get from sunshine is one thing. We don't know really how well the virus, you know, does in hot temperatures. Hopefully it won't do well, similar to what we see with the influenza virus. But just that that natural vitamin D that you're going to get from being outside is one thing. Exercise alone, we know, also increases our immune system. And that's the biggest thing right now, is have your immune system tuned up as well as it can in case you do get exposed to somebody. So getting outside decreases your anxiety, increases your vitamin D levels, and then also just the exercise alone is good for your heart and your immune system.
A lot of outdoor dining over this past weekend, and as far as that's concerned, it's all about social distancing mainly, isn't it?
It is. It's social distancing, and it's also air circulation. So, you know, you're not in a cramped environment where the air may be recirculated around. You're in an outdoor area where hopefully it'll be a little breezy. So it really is about the distancing. And you'll see that all of your servers have masks on. They're all protecting you. So certainly all these restaurants that have taken it on the chin for this, you know, please go out and support them. Support the local restaurants in your area. They're going to make sure that they are as safe as possible. And again, they're screening their employees before they come to work. They're taking their temperature. They're asking all the questions, and they're sending those individuals who are sick home. So, you know, restaurants right now, people are concerned about them. I wouldn't be. They're fairly safe. They know the distancing better because you're in a chair and you can't move around versus a bar. So we'll see how things pan out here, but I would hope that we're able to increase what we have open here in the very near future.
Before we let you go, Doc, a lot of folks are thinking about traveling towards the end of the year, hopefully, maybe having a Christmas vacation, wondering whether they should buy a plane ticket right now. I'm sure you've heard from people who want to fly. What are you telling them?
Bob, I flew this week, so I flew twice. I flew down to North Carolina, and I flew back from North Carolina yesterday. I could tell you that I flew Southwest. They were wonderful. There was no, if you know how Southwest lines up, they didn't do that. They do it in small groups of 10. You're wearing a mask the entire time. The plane has been cleaned. I felt very safe. You know, I wore a mask. I didn't wear gloves. I think that the airline industry is going, you know, taking those additional steps to make sure that everyone is safe. And again, they're not filling the planes, which is one good thing. At least Southwest isn't. You know, I had a seat in between that was open. So I think with some safety measures on yourself of washing your hands and having some disinfectant, travel, I hope we see that come back.
And let's hope for better days ahead for all of us. Dr. Kevin Most, appreciate the house call on Monday morning as always, Doc.
You got it, Bob. We'll talk soon.